A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I did tell you that my father tried to make cider once, didn't I?
Cider?
Was that a kind of,
Mickey?
Because my outfit did, remember there was a homebrew phase?
It was a revolution in homebrewing.
Yeah.
That's come back again now.
Duns used to sell them and your father could make 40 pints in the garage.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Mickey came in one day and he said, right, we're going to try this. And he had bought an old contraption of a sort of a I don't know. You
for pounding apples.
In. Yeah, you would put a vise onto a table. This would sit on the table. You'd throw the apples in on top, and then you'd just roll it and roll it and roll it. And then it was out in the garage all the time. And then I remember the garage stinking of the smell of apples. And then he said, it's getting too cold out there. I'm going to make the cider and I'm going to leave it down the bottom of your room, lads. So down near the...
So would it sit in a big barrel, is it?
This is like a fucking bats. Scene from Winter's Bone. Do you remember that film where they're all the Appalachian heads are addicted to crack?
What's that? That's OxyContin thing.
No, the Winter's Bone one is where they're all making crack. They're making crack in their sheds.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't know where it's on, but Winter's Bone is a great... Anyway, go on.
Let's watch that.
I never heard of it.
Because I just finished Dope Sick. But, so down at the bottom of our bedroom was the back bedroom in the bungalow. And it was like a double bed and a single bed. But, and I know the curtains and I know I can...
Was it freezing as well?
It was freezing and damp. It was damp. The radiator...
The teal windows and the one single glazing.
Yeah, there was always the stream of water in the morning on the bottom of the window.
Yeah, it reminds me.
From the
me
inner condensation.
Uh-huh. And with the three boys?
The three boys would be in the back.
How many bedrooms in the house?
We had three bedrooms.
So you had a guest bedroom.
But did dad have his own room after this
bedroom,
a while?
No, guest bedroom. Guest bedroom.
Well, so who'd stay with the Keoghans?
They had pantries.
Nobody would ever.
T.R. Dallas would come in.
I actually think
half cut.
T.R. Dallas would just throw a Stetson on the table and then he'd go. We never had. Oh, did we ever have anyone ever stay
over? So cousins ever stay over?
Ah, they come over and they stay in the Russell Arms Hotel.
Jesus, what an unfriendly house.
Had you not neighbour, like aunties and stuff?
I can't remember.
Did any of your pals ever have a sleepover when you were a gossin, like when you were in primary school?
No. There was none of that crack. All I remember is that we stayed in the back room. Then Freddie graduated into the front room.
No,
my mum
went
in there because my mum and my dad didn't stay in the same room, so they had to have their own rooms. But we were always in the back room. But it was damp and it was cold.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
The radiator never functioned properly.
No.
But you wouldn't have had their heat on very often.
Oh, the heat was only put on a special occasion.
When the fire was on.
Once or twice during the winter. Always
to take the ice off the windows.
And the beds were damp, were they?
Oh, but there was no quilts back then. Because
blankets,
it was the sheet that was wrapped in really tight and then that hairy blanket. Remember the Foxford blanket, then another blanket and then the beds. And
Warm enough.
Yeah. But you get into your bed and the socks and t-shirts.
You'd be freezing, you'd be tucked into
little
it.
Penny's boxer shorts on me.
In the fetal position.
Freddie being beside me and Mark being in the other bed. But anyway, Mickey said then one day, I'm going to move everything in here down by the window. And I remember that for about a year in first and second year in St. Pat's, there was a vats, there was the smell of apples, and he was fermenting the cider in our bedroom.
In barrels, was it?
In barrels and all this sort of stuff. I don't know what phase.
And what age would you have been?
I was about 12 or 13.
And were you drinking it? Were you ever sneaking a bit out of it?
No, but it was pungent. I don't know why he went into a phase of trying to make cider. Never did anything with it. But I don't know why it came into my head.
Do you remember him drinking it when it was done?
I think he drank a fair bit of it in the kitchen.
How did it get fizzy?
Cider's not fizzy.
Cider's not fizzy. It was just...
Cider is fizzy. When you get it in a can.
I love that accent.
Cider is fizzy.
Are you thinking of Ritz?
No, when you get up in a can of cider, it's fizzy.
Is Bulmer's fizzy?
Of course it is fizzy.
No, Sidona was homemade.
Sidona used to be fizzy.
Yeah, but Sidona was a Sidona sweet drink
was
for
a
children.
Sweet drink.
Yeah, but cider's fizzy.
Was great. I think it's like Scrumpy.
Did taste like Scrumpy Jack, Linden Village.
Oh,
Harvest
I never
Glow,
heard that stuff.
Orchard yeah. Glow. But anyway, he used to drink
Buxom Young Ones.
Baxter's,
very fizzy.
Baxter's Buxom Cider. Speaking of cider, we were in Taunton there a couple of years ago on one of the shows.
Steve Daunton in Pepper Island.
Steve Daunton.
With the big metal head in him in America. Remember that?
Steve Staunton was drawing a pure. Was he Dundalk or drawing? Steve Staunton was drawing.
The two boys that. The cousins were Dundalk, were they?
Gary Kelly was drawing.
Oh, are they
and
cousins?
The fellow with the left foot. Kelly and what was your man's name? The left foot. There's a D in it.
Dion Dublin.
No.
Dion Dublin.
Who? What?
Kelly's cousin.
Gary Kelly.
Yeah, and he had the cousin.
Desi Kelly.
No, the carpets. No, he had the left foot. Remember the cousin had the left foot.
Rory DeLapp.
Was he
Who was Gary Kelly's cousin? The left foot that played for Ireland. Ian Hart.
Ian Hart, yeah. There was Staunton, Hart and Kelly. They were all Dundalk and Drogheda. I was in a pub and you keep giving me, go back to the cider.
Wait, I'm confused.
That was my dad. For he went through a phase of making cider and it was out in the garage, but then he brought it into our bedroom. So as teenagers, there was just a smell of cider.
Lovely.
Did you ever drink it though?
I can't remember if we did or not. I don't think me and Freddie got drunk on it. But my dad went through a phase of trying to make cider and he stored it all in our back bedroom. Maybe because it was nice, damp, tropical conditions down there and it was working and it had to ferment. You had to leave it there for 6 months. I was in Taunton, the home of cider, a couple of years ago, and we wanted to do a cider story. So we arrive at this place, this farm.
Now, what were you doing in Taunton?
I was filming in the English series. One of the series I did was I came through from Scotland all down Dundee, the Angus coast, down into Newcastle, down into Liverpool where I met Xavi Alonso. Then we all the way down to the south coast where I met the Crankies, the two people from the Crankies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then down into London to meet the boys from Quadrophenia and the Mods and all the small faces. So I wanted to do my tour of Britain. But anyway, in Taunton, I wanted to meet the hippies, Stonehenge and Cheddar, Taunton, the West Country. So we went to meet this guy that we were told outside the village of Taunton, who was one of the best local boutique cider makers. So we arrive in Roscoe, myself and Evan, and it's like a farmhouse, really nice stone farmhouse, Land Rovers. You know there's a bit of wealth in the
area. Yeah, I can see it.
It's
West Country,
yeah.
West Country. And then lovely stone buildings. And then he opens this massive barn door. And this guy with a sort of a half Cockney accent, looks like he's a couple of quid, goes, "All right, lads, what's the story?" And we started talking to him. He's not from there. He moved over from London. As we were there, loads of people started coming and collecting vats of this 5 gallon drum cider. And then he goes, "Right, I've got two batches here, lads." And there was like maybe 5,000 litre here, 5,000 here.
What?
And he had, "I've no sugar on this one. This is really potent. This is about 8%. This one is last year's. This is beautiful." And it was like just vats and vats and vats of cider. And people were coming, getting their 5 gallon drums and heading off again and saying, "This is the best cider I've ever drank." Who was the man making the cider? That only came out when we started drinking.
And would we know?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs with the London accent.
No, Apple.
This lad.
Oh my God.
This lad that I was in his cider house, farm, brewery. Has
Nigel Farage.
Has probably one of the most famous brothers in the world.
And is he a sports person?
Is he one of the Bin Ladens?
No.
Boris Bin Laden.
No, but listen to this.
He had about fucking 300 kids, isn't he, the father?
Boris Bin Laden.
That'd be like me in the cult, in Athlone, with the ditches. Is it Morris? Was it one of the Bin Ladens?
No. So anyway,
give us more clues.
So we were drinking. We started. So then,
give us more clues.
I am. So we started drinking it, and I said, "Can we start trying it?" So he takes out the pint glasses. Over we go to the vat, and we're in.
This isn't a clue.
This is a clue. We started drinking it, and then he said,
"Was it fizzy?"
There was a fizzy one. There was a fizzy one. And then there was another one. And by, and later on the thing, me and Roscoe, I said, Roscoe, put down that camera because this cider is fucking lovely. Because I came from the world of...
How is that a clue? That's not a clue.
But this is a clue. So I says, how long are you here? I bought the farm here about...
Do his accent.
Or he's a sort of a cockney. So I bought the farm here about 25 years ago, you know. I came up here. My brother has bought a bit of land around here. He owns quite a bit of land around here.
David Beckham's brother.
You're getting... No, it's rock and roll, though. It's fucking rock and roll. And I says, what?
Elton John's brother.
Oh, you're getting very close.
Roger Daughtry's brother.
No, he goes fucking bigger again. Fucking
one of the Leonard Cohen.
One of the biggest bands of all...
Rod Stewart's brother.
You're getting very... Oh. No, he's much better, much cooler than that. And I said, can I ask you a question?
Who's Mick Flanagan?
Mick Jagger's brother.
Mick Jagger's brother.
Yes.
Mick...
What's his name?
Jagger's... Johnny Jagger.
Johnny Jagger.
And by this stage it's about 6 o'clock in the evening and we're getting fucking locked on this homebrew cider. More and more people are coming going, this is the best for us. I says, and by the end of the night, me and Roscoe had bought already 5 gallon drums that we put into our car that we drank for the next 3 weeks travelling around Brighton and everywhere because it was fucking lovely. But we ended up sitting with Mick Jagger's brother for the night getting locked.
How did that conversation come up?
It was fucking brilliant and what a lovely... Couldn't give a fuck about the brother.
Was his name on the outside?
I still get on with the brother and all that, but it was Mick Jagger's brother who had absconded to
Johnny Jagger
the West Country to make cider.
He sounds like a cartoon character, doesn't he?
Johnny Jagger.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, that was Mickey's homebrew escapades, even though Mickey liked a pint, but he tried for a while to make cider.
Are either really nostalgic about any phase of your lives? So I was talking to somebody the other day who was grew up in Ireland, but moved to Sheffield when they were 16 and fell into the whole music scene in Sheffield back then. And this woman is now in her 50s and she was kind of going, that was kind of the best time of my life. It was all the start of all that kind of cool Sheffield. Was it Portishead and Pulp? And so there was a kind of a Brit pop and...
Suede.
And a kind of a dance thing going on. And she was saying we were a great community. I was wondering, like, because I would be nostalgic about Galway, being on the dole in Galway, which is a funny thing to be nostalgic about.
Not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world, acting with a few people, drinking pints, getting £15 a week extra money on top of the dole, which you wouldn't declare. But if the lady who worked behind the counter in the dole office had come to see you perform, she might ask you a strange question. Okay. I remember those times. I don't remember the long winters. I don't remember being freezing cold and having to go to bed with all your clothes on and coats piled on top of you to stay warm. I just remember summer and pints and acting and sweat and just the kind of the joy of all that. And I look back on that with nostalgia to such an extent that it might actually inform future choices. I might be half tempted to start a theatre company or I might be half tempted to stop doing stand-up and just do acting, because in my mind this thing is still really strong of putting on a play and becoming different people and being involved in different stories and then going to a bar after and having pints of porter and chatting. So that's still...
You can go back to that.
You always... Do you dream of that phase or is it always in the back of your head?
It's all in my head as...
The memories are vivid.
Oh, yeah.
Logged
under happy times. Yeah. So do either of you... Are you nostalgic about anything?
I kind of... I don't know. Am I old enough yet to be nostalgic?
Ah, you're well old enough, sure. Am I out state,
yeah. Or maybe I didn't have...
Do you
have
think
enough.
You're young? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Jesus, I don't Lisa, have enough life experience yet to be nostalgic.
Do you have any idea what you really look like?
No. But in my head, I'm nostalgic about that.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, when you talk about logging happy times, like there's definitely a part of my childhood where you only remember having fun times and like sunny weather and you don't remember any bad stuff. But I don't really have any... I don't want to look back at any part of my career and say, oh God, I loved that time of my life and I wanted to stay there. In terms of fun and crack, I think I'm still having that. So I'm still living my good life at the minute.
Wow. You're making the things that are happening to you now are making your nostalgia for future dreams.
I think so.
Oh, you're like a wellness coach, aren't you?
Because
I'm confused about that, but it sounds good.
You're the Tony Robbins of Irish podcasting.
Yes.
Hector Robbins.
See, I have awful nostalgic dreams. And
awful or good?
Awful, brilliant ones. And strong. I remember minute details, and I know what things look like and feel like, and I know that there was, maybe it was just different. Maybe for me, it was just once I escaped out of Navan and once I set on my road, whether it was up
on
to
your
Dublin.
Own path.
Oh yeah, Dublin as a 16-year-old, living in bedsits and all that cracking with Freddie and all that. And then maybe saving a few quid with a Closh and Veen, and then going to live on the Aran Islands, and then from the Aran Islands to the Basque Country. I remember, they're all fucking great times. There was like this mad, one big, it was like Snowpiercer. It was like the train. It was like Snowpiercer.
You're still on it.
Just
on it. Or you're
I'm
off
on
it.
One big Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
And every carriage is a little carriage where I have these.
Can you imagine if you could do that? If your life was a fucking train.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Just hurtling through the world.
And you could go back into it.
Spend an hour in this carriage. Spend an hour in that carriage.
I'd go back to Boston for a while. Yeah.
Boston. You'd have a Boston carriage.
Yeah, Boston Scientific.
I'd have definitely a Boston carriage. I'd spend a lot of time in there. And I'd have, yeah.
Audrey would
oh
have
my
her
God,
own carriage.
I'd love that. Like, but the only thing is, Knockmore, I'd have a few different Knockmore carriages.
No bother.
I'd have different eras of Knockmore carriages. But
isn't it terrifying to think what carriages might be put onto the train yet?
Oh, that's the worst. You see, that's the thing.
The nursing home carriage.
The
you love it in there.
The suppository carriage with the
You'd
doctor.
You'd love it in the nursing home carriage.
You're due.
The widower carriage, Hector. When the two wives have passed on,
and you'd be staying in that carriage forevermore.
Then we'd have a snooker carriage, just pool table snooker.
If, he be, like, if you're dead first, you'll have to stay in whatever carriage your wife's put you in.
If we become widows, myself and Hector, we're just like a pair of sad tramps meeting outside Centra.
Just
will you cook today?
Noodles, you'd be getting the pot noodles.
If I had a carriage on the train to bring me back to some nostalgia, I would go back. My days teaching English, my couple of years in Bilbao, were fucking brilliant. It was just
would that be one carriage
a couple
or
of hours every morning, putting on aeroplane. A movie and asking these Spanish students to watch it for an hour. I was getting 2,000 pesetas an hour, 2,000 pesetas. And I was just, the crack was fucking really good. I met loads of good people over there. The weather was good. I was heading to Bilbao to teach other lads. I'd heading different places. I had a nice apartment. Dipna had gone back to finish her studies. Freddie then moved over for a while. Triggsy came over. So Bilbao to me was a really...
It's like a Spanish fucking Only Fools and Horses.
Trixie.
So Bilbao, the Aran Islands, Inish Man, all those places are... All those places are filled
But
with
isn't
nostalgia.
It funny that there came a time when you're in those places to get out of them?
Yeah.
There came a time where you went, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So even though you don't remember that or that feeling isn't strong, you just remember the good times, you have to acknowledge that there was a moment where you said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. You wouldn't do it now, like.
I'm moving.
If Tommy's been on the Dole and go, when I came back from the Basque Country, I went immediately onto the Dole, and the Dole was magnificent back then because the Foss was
magnificent.
Magnificent.
But there was no Wi-Fi then, and there was no things to look for.
There was no Champions League.
You never went on holiday.
It was just...
RTE used to show a match from Stamford Bridge every Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Like, there was a false course. The false
teletext results.
The Dole that I was on had a sort of an alignment with Foss. So I got a job.
What did you have to do, Foss job?
Answering bananas down in Nuns Island.
Do you remember that?
What?
Answering bananas. It was phone call practice.
Samaritans.
For people who were trying to teach people how to work in offices. But okay. So they didn't have enough money to buy phones for every, like, landlines. So you'd go into a room.
Oh, please.
And pick up a banana and go, hello, Ormsby, Mormsby and Slormsby.
Hello, you're through to Teleconnect. Can I help you?
Oh my God, what kind of courses did you do?
False courses. So
banana etiquette.
I was on a false course with the Dole in conjunction with Áras na Gael, because I could speak Irish.
Mm,
so Áras na Gael is Conan na Gaeilge headquarters on Dominic Street. They've got a really cool bar down the back.
Yes.
Where it's still a fantastic bar. Smell of patchouli, pints of Guinness, Irish speakers, and loads of fucking people with badges of tricolours on them.
It's hats like mine.
Yeah, a Republican stronghold and
Green
a hippie
ones.
Stronghold. So I worked my way up in Áras na Gael. I was 2 years in Áras na Gael, upstairs in the office, and then I got a free false Microsoft. They taught me how to use Microsoft Word in Nuns Island, where every Thursday I'd have to go down and sit in a room with a tiny computer and learn how to type
with your fingers.
So that was all new.
The right fingers.
And then I got the driving lessons for free through Foss. 10 driving lessons with a lad called Clem. And the first time I hopped into the car, he goes, "We're going to Tuam. I've been there, I have to drop off a parcel."
He's
to
get some keys,
Chris. He says, "It doesn't matter, just I've been there."
Up and they're
going to pour more. And I'm going, "I can't fucking drive." He said, "I'm looking at his feet." He was going like Joe 90 in the feet. "I'm not doing it." He goes, "I know."
Oh, he was controlling
it. He was driving and he says, "I just have to drop a parcel off in Tuam." And I was going, "This is my first ever driving lesson. I'm on Bournemouth and I'm going to die." You know the big roundabout? I go, "Sorry, I have to drop the parcel off in Tuam." So I learned, that was, I got my driving lessons. I got my Microsoft computer course. I got my driving lessons. And then Padder McLonagha, who was in charge of him, my Cullen guy.
Made up name. It's a made up name. What does that even mean?
Padder McLonagha was in charge of it.
Of course he was. Did he have a speech impediment? What the fuck? That's a made up name. I've heard a lot of made up Irish names, but that's made up.
Patrick of the Lakes. Padder McLonagha, a great guy, was in charge of it. So he knew that I had a bit of. So I said to him one day, "Tá kosher I teach suas, tá saoin I teach suas, Padder." And this was back 1995, 96, 97. So, "Tá kosher mór a shul," I said, "Caird fwy shí, if I can change it a little bit, we'll get a bit more funky. I might bring in a DJ. Can I decorate it like a reel? Can I go out and..." He says, "It's fair like the Rower of the Yennef." I said, "We're going to have a Halloween party." And it's funny now to see the way Áras na Gael has changed over the years. There's now sound systems in there. It's full of fancy dress. There's a really good eclectic vibe in it. So there was two other lads on a false course with me, and they were in their 60s. And the two boys just used to be there. They used to do stuff. So I said to them lads, "Where are you from?" And one lad said, "I'm from near Headford."
Headford?
I says,
"Was he a DJ?
Can we go out? And can we cut down a load of bushes and trees? And can I put them up on the roof and everything inside Áras na Gael?" And he said, "That's a great idea." So off we went in a van with a trailer and chainsaws. And we went out to your man's land and we cut down trees and holly bushes. And so I brought back loads of this stuff. I decorated the whole of Áras na Gael like it was like a jungle. Had a DJ in there. And that's when I started. And that sort of an eclectic vibe then. But don't fuck it. The Dole Man was magnificent. I was living back up the canal in a little bedsit on number 10 Canal Road down the side alleyway. It was fucking brilliant times. Brilliant times. So that's...
But like, there was also a time where you said, I can't do this anymore.
No. If I saw... if you,
if you're still doing that now, it'd be...
A couple of years ago, I walked down that alleyway about 2 years ago. And I stood outside the door where me and Dipna and Axel came back from the Basque Country. And everything seemed so small. The door into this little chalet. Now, I'm talking about a flat roof chalet with two windows.
Oh, yeah.
There was a public payphone inside. There was a little tiny kitchenette. There was a tiny little shower and two cold little bedrooms off it. We had a portable little TV. And I just stood outside it going... Fucking hell,
the squalor.
How was this our...
I know.
How was this our castle?
I know.
This was our castle of crack. This was where everyone used to meet. This is where I was so fucking happy.
But hasn't it stood to you now? Like,
in what way?
In like, you have those memories and you have those stories to tell. Like, if you had a kind of a very easy and privileged life, would it be?
Nostalgia is a brilliant hormone. It is a fucking...
Does it make you sad?
Is it a hormone?
No, I think it's... for me, it's a... It's... Does it make you yearn for the past?
No, it couldn't make you yearn for the past because you're just after saying you wouldn't want to stay in it. But surely it brings you back to
stories,
fun memories, and maybe not so fun memories.
The double dole. I used to go, and then I get the rent allowance. And once every 4 or 5 months, I'd have to go up to Chantla
from John Lee. Remember, John Lee used to give that rent allowance,
and you'd be planking yourself.
I didn't know, was his name on the bottom of the...
You'd be planking yourself that you would get cut off the rent allowance.
Why? Because you'd be working or something.
And then that would be stopped. And I remember every 6 weeks you'd have to go for that upper into Chantla, up to the left, into a prefab. Hello there. And he'd look at you and he'd just... And then you would get the signature. Yeah, I think you're all right for another 6 months.
Oh, and you'd be phew.
You'd be delighted.
It was like Glastonbury without the music. That's what Galway felt like back then. It was just
a large
group of people on very little money doing crazy stuff.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, I want to ask you a question.
Me?
Yeah.
You're pointing at me.
Yeah. How do you like to be argued with? Like when you're... So, I've been thinking recently about how to argue with a woman.
Yeah, it's hard.
Right, because and maybe you're the same, Hector. Maybe your father was the same. We were reared on the kind of the rope-a-dope.
What does that mean?
That means when the woman starts giving out, you just put the head down to the ground and you just take it.
Are you listening? Yeah.
Yeah, just take it. And she'd be, and you're kind of, you're not giving her, you're kind of like a sad dog.
Right.
You're taking your verbal baiting and you're just kind of, you know.
Okay.
You're not offering any resistance. You're just kind of, bet.
Take it on the chin.
Yeah, but men do offer an opinion when they don't need to offer it.
Whoa.
Did you just hear that?
I'm joking.
No, you weren't joking. You're just panicking now.
I'm not panicking.
No, you're panicking.
Backtrack.
Men do offer an opinion when...
When a woman is arguing with a man, it's not like... She's not looking for them to reason with her at that time.
No, but is it enjoyable?
So it'd be better if they just
fought back.
No. Why not? Did you fight back?
But isn't that the way to have it though?
No. It's not because
it fucking is, Larita.
No, because the woman is elevated and she's gone into a mood and it's just bring her back down by calming her down. Don't get into an argument because then it turns into a full argument.
Yeah.
It goes on
exactly.
For hours.
That's where the passion is.
No, it's not.
It is, Larita.
Forget about it.
You haven't a clue what you're talking about.
It isn't.
You haven't a clue.
No, I do have a clue. You just ask me. I'm a woman. You just ask me.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you know everything.
Yeah, but I know when I'm not.
Look, both of you change your positions. You're arguing with each other again.
See, you should just go, yeah, do you know what?
Yes, love. Yes,
you're right. You're right.
We were reared on the yes, love. And where did that get our father?
Fine, they got on grand, didn't they?
No, they didn't. They got the ride once a month.
It was the slamming of doors and I'm out for a while. I'll be gone for a while.
But men do argue now. And it's not appreciated by the woman.
That's a good thing. To give the guff back. Yes, it is.
It isn't.
Why not?
Because they're all full of opinion. Oh, men know everything. Like, they can't follow basic instruction, first of all.
Excuse me?
Men, they can't follow basic. You ask them to do a job, can't do it. Didn't hear you. Wasn't listening to you. Like, I think...
Because we're busy.
Yeah, busy doing what men
following
are like 16-year-old boys.
Yes.
They haven't changed at all. You know, if they have to get up and do a job.
Well, more's the pity you didn't say like 16-year-old girls. With the
well,
giddy
someone had to grow up.
Well, giddy little heads and ye.
Someone had to grow
just
up
glad
and take
to be out.
It. Yeah. Well, that's exactly the way he stayed. A 16-year-old boy.
So you'd prefer.
So if you'd, like, it's just pure selfish doing your own thing.
That's horseshit.
No, because your brain doesn't allow you to take other things in. You have to do it, and you've been told to, look, can you get up in the morning? I need you to bring the kids to school, and I need you to pick up me dry cleaning and do the grocery shopping.
Spoiled rotten.
Now, Hector's good. He can do things like
thank
that.
Thank you.
You can't. A lot of men
he's
I know.
He's very high levels of estrogen. That's why he's able.
That's it.
That's why he's so compliant.
I tried patches on my knees.
Yeah, he's got estrogen patches, and that helps. Maybe you all need estrogen.
Estrogen bunny wrote him. Okay.
Estrogen bunny. Can you like? Oh, I forgot to do. Oh, it's like
if
children.
If you're arguing with one of your lady pals, right?
Yeah.
It's give and take. It's give and take. Yeah. And then afterwards, you both have a think and then you both have regrets and you both make up and you're the best of pals again. And you know...
But you don't really
fight. Can I finish this fucking
sentence? No, you can't. Go on.
No, I like where he's going with this. Go on.
So, and you both know that what's said was said in the heat of the moment and it's gone and maybe you'll remember something, but you know, the friendship is more important than letting the come out of the mouth.
Okay.
Whereas are you saying to me that what you want with a man is just take it and like you're giving out to a Jack Russell and you're not to do that. You're a bold boy. And don't do that.
Get in there.
Get in, you bad boy.
Get into bed.
And he'll scuttle away with the tail between his legs.
Get in there.
And maybe if he's lucky, you'll give him a rub in
the
day.
And he'll come over and lick your face after
inside.
A while.
Come in from out the back.
And he'll come over and he'll put his
nose
in.
But which is the more passionate encounter? Are you not
annoyed with them anyway? It doesn't matter.
The women think
you fucking hey, stay out of this, you
okay,
now.
Sorry
he's
about
such
that.
A bunny.
Oh yeah, go on. No, no, the two he's having a right fucking barn. Get it off your chest.
So is it not more passionate to kind of to engage with for a man to lower himself to engage with the woman on her level and to have the argument?
Yeah, have the argument, but then say sorry afterwards.
Now there's conditions.
Because the man is always wrong.
Yeah, generally, it's just easier if the man apologises because the woman doesn't really like apologising.
Why not?
It's hard for us.
No, it's not.
It is hard.
But get over yourselves.
No, it's hard because we didn't mean to do it in the first place. And it just popped out and then the man...
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're making me feel guilty. Feel guilty now and it's not working.
See?
On
you. And then I was sorry though. We didn't mean to do it. And
back
so
off with your magic head.
Yeah, you
just
see.
Back the fuck
off. So that's
off
what manners
with
you.
Your secret
you
powers.
You can have the argument.
Did you hear the way she changed her voice?
And she moved closer to me.
Yeah, and we didn't mean to do it. We didn't mean to do it.
I'm on to you.
And we're sorry. And if only our rational brain would work.
This is a trap, Hector. This is a fucking trap.
And then you'll say, oh, it's okay, love. I didn't mean to do that. And then I'll say, oh, I'm going to make you something lovely now and we're
like a lasagna best,
yeah, or like make you a little cup of tea with a bun or something and
can I watch the match?
Yeah, anything you want.
And I'm going to
we'll both watch the match together.
No, we won't. You're going to be asking questions.
Excuse me, then you can't turn around and say that. You can say you've
just
say
I'm going to put on the heat and pull the curtains.
What you'd say then is no, we don't even need to watch the match. I was only joking about the match. We'll watch Emmerdale
or When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, we'll watch that and
or
we'll
Sicaro.
Get some and I'll go and get some ice cream.
I like the 20 minutes of complete silence.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Silence, and then you're in your, and then my jaw drops down. And I go like that, and then
like you're on E.
The skaggy jaw, and then I say nothing for half an hour, just nothing. And when there's no chat, and when there's no communication, then the woman realizes she's been in the wrong.
No, but she
and
won't.
The man has been harmed and maimed once more.
Yes. And what I do is after a big argument, and I leave the beloved in the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I go at the back.
Yeah.
And I start pulling myself asunder.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right? And I know
at
she's
the window looking in.
No, no, I hide so she can't see me.
Right.
But when I climax, I let the sperm just fly across the window so she knows I've recovered.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
I got over her fairly quick.
You need psychological help.
So it's not better to.
It is better to have the argument.
To push back and fly it out.
Yeah.
Fly it out to fuck.
Yeah, but then. But
and
then
say
who's
things. And say things you'll regret.
No, never do that.
Say things you'll regret.
No, you say them really low down.
Like what, Tommy?
You say them really low down.
No, because then you might mean them.
What, yeah, no, you do mean
there?
Them.
Did you say something on your breath?
You might regret it, but you still mean it.
Say something like you really. Go on, say something.
No, you
really
just say, like, oh, you fucking.
You are a
I hate you. You'd never say out loud, oh, I hate you. You'd
no,
say,
how did they ever
you.
End up with you?
Should have fucked your sister.
And then she says, what did you say?
I didn't say anything.
Did you see the cistern is broken in the toilet?
Yeah, and then that's when it goes. So you say,
I said somebody fucked the cistern.
Yes.
You say that low down.
Yeah.
Because so, if you do regret it, at
no,
least
you, know
you haven't
one that
said
gets me?
It.
I fucking tell you one thing is they're all the same.
Yeah.
You're all the same. You're all the same.
Yeah.
The men or the Kyogans or who
men,
is she talking
men,
about?
Men.
You're all the same. No, we're not. We're all individually unique, beautiful men.
You're not. And you see, when you say it down low, even if you meant it or you meant it only in that minute, at least if they didn't hear it fully or properly or weren't sure what you said, at least then you don't have to go. Because then the problem is women never forget things, ever.
Like an elephant.
Ever. So in maybe...
Or the internet.
6 weeks' time.
An elephant on the internet.
Yeah.
6 weeks' time.
Yes.
If we're having another fight, I'd say, and you said that about me too. Oh, and you'd bring that back up.
Yes.
And you see, men don't really like things being brought back up again.
Because the past is the past.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so.
So what conclusion are we after reaching? That it is good to fight back.
Yeah.
And it is good to be passionate.
And then be sorry.
So don't take your bait. Argue back.
Yeah.
Say things you don't mean. Pretend your life is a soap opera. Pretend you're in Emmerdale or EastEnders.
Or Fair just, City.
Or let it out. Let it out.
Well, not too much. Now, you have to be restrained slightly.
In what sense?
The woman can let it out because, you see, men forgive women a bit easier than
can
women.
Can the man
forget.
Slam a press or the dishwasher?
No.
When she's arguing, no. Men just have to stay there and take it.
No, we don't. That's what we're saying, Hector, is you fight back.
We fucking... Imagine if a man...
But if you say something, stand over it because you are going to get that between your two eyes again, whether it's in a year's time, if it's in a week's time, or it's... Because the woman is going to say, you said I was a bitch or something like that.
Ah, no, that's too...
That's
no,
yeah.
A bitch.
That's harsh.
Yeah,
that's
but
harsh.
Like whatever.
No, you wouldn't be that bad. It'd be something
you were
like,
an owl, whatever. No. You're an owl bag or something. Or
no, the fucking...
Think of something that you said.
You said...
I think the word wagon has to be in it.
Yeah, you...
You called me a fucking...
Yeah, you... Yeah, you called me a fucking something. And then you're going to say, I didn't mean that. Well, you shouldn't have said it. Don't say it, because you did. You wouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it.
Yeah, but if I remembered all the things you said to me, we'd be here all night with recriminations.
Yeah.
So let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, so you better apologise to
for
me
what?
For that. Yeah, just apologise.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And don't
apologize.
You dare say that.
Well, that's exactly the sound of an Irish kitchen.
Don't you dare say that.
Say what?
Just don't speak to me like
could
that.
I fucking speak to you if I want.
No, you won't.
I fucking
excuse
will.
Excuse me, who do you think you are? You will not
excuse
speak
me, who
to
do
me.
I think I am?
Yes.
I fucking live here.
Yeah, you live here, yes. But you're my husband.
That was the fucking day I went wrong anyway.
Well, you can get your own dinner this evening.
Excuse me?
Get out of the
Thank
house.
God.
Get away. Go away.
You get the fuck
get
out of
away
the house.
From me. You go away from me.
I wouldn't go near you if I was paid.
Well, you're here. You're still here. You're still beside me. Go away from me.
I don't want to go.
I don't want to speak to you.
It's good. Leave me alone.
Go out to the shed or something and get some turf
Door
or do
slams.
Something useful.
You get the fucking shed.
No, you get it. And go and wash the dishes. You never wash the dishes, by
go
the way.
Pick up
when
the
was
kids.
The last time you made the dinner? When was the last time you cleaned
You're
up after yourself?
None of your
when
business.
Was the last time you did any hoovering or any making any beds? Around? What
do
you don't understand
time.
What I'm going through. You haven't a clue what I do. You haven't a clue what I do. I keep this house going and you come
fuck?
In and out of it whenever you
do
want.
You, fuck?
You know, yes, you are here. You just live in your own little
fuck.
World.
Mom!
You live in your own world.
Mom!
Go away, you too. Take the children Mom! With you and go away from me. I just want to watch the telly and have a bath. And put on my pyjamas Mommy! And listen to music and... Pull on my candle and you're messing the house all the time. You're always messing the house. Your stuff is everywhere. Go away with your stuff. You've too much stuff. If I was in charge of you, you wouldn't have any stuff.
I wouldn't have any life either.
No, exactly. Well, that'd be more of it. And you'd be let out of the kitchen and out of the room once a week and once a day and you're making a mess everywhere.
You're a wagon.
And women have to get the house cleaned up and do everything because you don't even see stuff
Shut
that's
up
left
talking,
everywhere.
Will you?
You're leaving stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm fucking 50 and I want to drop stuff. Where I want to drop stuff. You're not my mother.
No, unfortunately, I'm not your mother.
Dad,
and I don't have to put up with you.
Drop me down to training.
Fuck off.
Fuck off, Israel.
Walk.
I wish your father would go down to training as well.
I tell you one thing. The
and spend a bit of time down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's that fucking gym membership going for you?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, at least I'm not a big slob like you.
Jesus Christ almighty. I pay for this. I'm fucking... I pay for this. And this
and is like the Archers
you, you've
on
been
BBC.
Listening to the brand new
this is
soap oh, opera wow. here on THL
so,
Radio.
Fight back.
Fight back
fight
for
back.
A little bit
and
then say,
and then,
oh, look, I'm going and then go to the shop and bring back a treat.
And then love each other.
Come back with a crunchy.
And then say, I love you. I'm only sorry. I'm awful sorry. And I'm going to do more around the house anymore. And then you never will anyway, so...
Yeah, why could you...
It's just the effort.
No, you can't leave it there. Why
did you
finished?
Go back to the argument after I brought you back a crunchy?
Because you're annoying
why
and you're still annoying me.
Oh, you can't let it go. You're like a fucking...
Yeah, but
guys,
that's because you came back too
now.
Soon. You should have waited another
no,
half
the whole
hour.
Thing is over now. The actual... We're not acting
And that's
anymore.
Another thing then. Can I go for a pint? No, you can't go for a pint.
I don't need to ask you if I'm going for a pint.
Yeah, you can, because then you're messing up my dinner plans.
And what about tomorrow?
What do you mean your dinner plans?
I've made dinner now and you're not going to be home.
Do you think I'm eating your dinner? Same old shite every fucking Tuesday.
Fucking sweet and sour Uncle Ben's.
Honestly, there's more variety in Lohmann's Mental Hospital than there is here.
Well, you could get me a nice cooking demonstration
I'll get
for
you a
something,
fucking Viennetta.
Right.
That'll keep you quiet for an hour.
You fucking sick nerd.
Ding dong.
You're an awful. Do you know you're an awful pain in the hole? Did you know that? Right.
See, you had an opportunity to let it go there again.
No, I'll never let it go. I'm never letting it go. It's your. That's why it's your responsibility.
You're much better, and you're much better at this than I am.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just couldn't get it was a work of art.
My favourite bit was you're always making the same at dinner.
So our the conclusion is fight back, be passionate.
And but know when to drop it.
Yeah.
Men.
No.
Men.
Oh, that little dig.
There's always
again.
A dig
you
at the
can't
end.
You can't let a sleeping dog lie.
Just, it's easier if the men do it because then you let the woman off the hook because she's already so elevated with rage.
Yeah.
You just got to let her go.
Oh, you win.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's fine. And if you said that earlier, I would have stopped.
And to the men out there, if you have been affected by this podcast and you need to talk, you can listen to us every week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless and good luck.
Intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.